بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and a very warm welcome to this week's live edition of Revival in Motion. We're 1 week closer to the month of Ramadan, and we are in the middle of the Ayyam al-Bid, the white days, days which are blessed for fasting. And for those of you that are fasting on these days, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of this month of Sha'ban, wherever you are in the world, depending on your moon sighting days, 13, 14, and 15, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your fasting and accept your ibadah. For our listeners, our brothers and sisters who have fasts outstanding due to travel or illness, due to hayd, nifas, please let's try, and if we have the health and the strength, the ability to do so, let us try to make up for those fasts. It is not too late. Now, as we get closer to the month of Ramadan, our focus draws inward towards purifying the heart, preparing the mind and the body and the soul for the blessed month of Ramadan. Very much as preparing oneself for welcoming a special guest. And as such, this Thursday and every Thursday this month, we are talking about preparing the heart. We're talking specifically on the sound heart. The Quran Kareem talks about it as Qalbun Saleem. And we've been in the past few weeks discovering more about how precious it is to have a sound heart. Writing about the novels of the human heart, Al-Ghazali stated, "The honor and excellence of man, by which strips all other creatures, is his ability for knowing Allah. Transcendent is he, man's beauty, perfection, and glory in this world, and his provision and store in the world to come. He is prepared for receiving such knowledge only via his heart, and not by means of any other of his bodily organs. For it is the heart that knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, works for Allah, and strives towards Allah, draws nearer to Allah, and reveals that which is in the presence of Allah. In contrast, all the other organs are merely followers, servants, and instruments that the heart uses and employs. For it is the heart that is accepted by Allah when it is free from all except Him. It is veiled from Allah when it is totally absorbed in other than Allah. The heart is that which, if a man knows it, he knows himself. And if he knows himself, he knows his Lord. But it is that which, if he knows it not, he knows not himself. And if he knows not himself, he knows not his Lord. So, knowledge of the heart and of the true nature of its traits is the root of religion and the foundation of the path of the seekers. It is no wonder that the Quran says about man's responsibility to his heart, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Surah 26, verses 88 and 89. The day when wealth and sons will benefit not, save he who brings to Allah a sound heart. So let's remind ourselves of the blessings of a sound heart. The heart, in essence, is where the intentions reside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Indeed, actions are by intentions, and every person will have that which they intended." So the scholars have stipulated that intentions reside in the heart. So if the intention of the heart is sound, the act will meet with divine acceptance. However, if the heart is corrupt or insincere, the act will be rejected by Allah. Wallahu alam. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, an eminent scholar of Islam, once remarked, how many a small act is elevated by an intention, and how many a great act is diminished by an intention. The heart is where or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focusing on with His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts to see if our hearts have sound intention and sincerity to Him. And Allah also looks at our actions to see if they conform to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure we all are aware of the hadith. Indeed, Allah does not look at your forms or your appearances, but He looks at your hearts and your actions. And it is in the heart where the Qur'an is understood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Will they not meditate on the Qur'an, reflect on the Qur'an, or are they locks upon their hearts? Surah 47, verse 24. It is sins and exposing the heart to trials and temptations that can diminish the heart's clarity or understanding. Sufyan al-Thawri said, I was granted understanding of the Qur'an, but when I accepted a gift from the Sultan, it was removed from me. Allahu Akbar. The heart is also where piety or taqwa is located. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, At-taqwa ha huna, at-taqwa ha huna, at-taqwa ha huna. Piety is here, piety is here, piety is here. And he said it pointing to his chest three times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked, who among people are the best? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, those with a clean heart and a truthful tongue. And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in inquired, we understand what a truthful heart, tongue is, but what is a clean heart? To which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is one, it is a heart that is pious and pure, in which there is neither sin, nor rancor, nor jealousy. And this is the heart itself. So when we think of the heart, we realize that the center of everything, of positivity, negativity, coming out from the heart itself. And just like we have rights upon each other, our hearts too have rights. The first right of your heart is for your heart to be adorned with iman. A person possesses nothing of greater worth than the heart, and the heart cannot contain anything more cherished by it or more necessary to it than iman, sound beliefs, and internalizing the reality and the requirements of La ilaha illallah. Why? Because hearts were created to worship and adore Allah. Hearts were created to be filled with faith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say in one of his du'as, O Allah, endear faith to us and beautify it in our hearts, and make unbelief, immorality, and disobedience odious to us, and make us of the rightly guided. Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-usiyan waj'alna min al-rashideen. Ameen. The right of your heart is that it should be illuminated with the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, O people, there has come to you an exhortation from your Lord and a healing for what is in the breasts and a guidance and a mercy for those who believe. So the Quran declares itself to be a counsel to heal hearts, to cure hearts of doubts and darknesses and anxiety. And so when we illuminate our hearts with Quran, reading, listening, studying, understanding Quran, then the message of the Quran begins to console and reassure and revive our hearts. The right of your heart upon you is that you bring to it sakina, tranquility. There is one hadith which informs, detachment from the world, zuhd, brings relief to the heart and the body, while desire for worldly increase brings worry and anxiety. Despite scientific studies revealing, we still see that there's this huge increase in material things, people living well beyond their means, and still it doesn't increase their happiness. They're actually more miserable. People are so obsessed with what they can acquire in this dunya, whether it's living beyond our means, whether it's having huge personal debts, whether it's pinning our whole self-esteem on wearing the right luxury brands. People are anxious about keeping up or not with the latest trends, and it's pushed people to a mental brink. So we have all these material comforts and technology that's meant to make life easier, but our societies are filled with discontentment and anger and angst and depression and worry. And people are desperately seeking fulfillment in things that can never truly fulfill us, like materialism and consumerism. And in contrast, the Quran offers us a simple truth. Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find tranquility. So it is simple living, lived out in the remembrance of Allah, that is the key to tranquility. And this is the heart's right. This is the heart's right. Another right of our hearts is in nurturing it with tenderness and humility. You know, the Prophet ﷺ would exhort others to bring into their lives actions that would have a profound effect on softening their hearts and on removing hardness from them. One example is the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, I used to forbid you from visiting graves, but now visit them. For doing so softens the heart, brings tears to the eye, and reminds one of the hereafter. Another right of our hearts upon us is to guard our hearts from the poison of sins. Allow me to explain. We need to be endeavoring to keep our hearts free from sin, because this is our heart's right over us. Sins stain the heart, they poison the heart. And the sins leave behind like this veil over the heart. And that veil corrodes the heart and prevents us from deeper insight, from deeper understanding of our deen. Another right of the heart is to keep it free from diseases. Keeping the heart sound means that we guard against two types of sicknesses or diseases. The disease of doubts, amrad al-shubuhat, and the disease of desire, amrad al-shahawat. So we want to keep our hearts clear that they're not overtaken by doubts or by desires. And again, it is the Quran Kareem which keeps the heart strong, sound, and healthy. And lastly, but certainly not least, another right of our hearts upon us is to make dua, to pray constantly for the heart's guidance. Now, this is another essential haqq or right of our heart upon us, meaning we are to pray for our hearts to be guided and to be given well-being so that our hearts are not swerved from faith. We know that the Prophet ﷺ would often supplicate, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Rasul ﷺ would make a dua in which he asked Allah, the turner of hearts, to turn our hearts to his deen, to his obedience. In the Quran, we have numerous du'as that deal with the heart itself. Amongst them, رَبَّنَا أَلَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Surah 3, verse 8, O Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve after you have guided us, and bestow upon us mercy from your presence. Assuredly, you, Ya Allah, are the bestower. So let's review what we've been discussing today in our first segment. If you've just joined us, our current theme for this month is a sound heart. Qalbun Salim. And we've been turning towards Quran and Hadith sources to understand what it means to have a sound heart. Today, we sought to understand what are the rights of our heart upon us. And today, we reminded ourselves that it is upon us to adorn our hearts with Iman, that we should illuminate our hearts with the Quran, that we are to bring tranquility, sakina, to our hearts, that we are to nurture our hearts with tenderness and humility, and that we are to guard our hearts from the poison of sins, that we are to keep our hearts free from diseases, the disease of gout and the disease of desire. And lastly, that we are to constantly pray for our heart's guidance. And the most concise and beautiful of du'as is the one within Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O Allah, cause not our hearts to swerve after you have guided us, and bestow upon us mercy from your presence. Assuredly, you are the bestower. So as we've now recapped the checklist of the rights of our heart upon us, perhaps we take a moment to reflect to see, where do I need to be putting in more effort this Ramadan? Which aspect, which right of my heart have I been neglecting? The heart is the seat of emotion, and we often look towards it as being about emotion, but truly it is much more than that. It is really the center of much of where our intention comes from and our desires, and what needs to be curbed and what needs to be paid attention to. So always be making dua for our hearts to be guided. This is something we cannot take for granted, and we need to be praying about it regularly. So the dua reference, Surah number 3, verse 8. Still to come on the program today, we continue with our topic on the sound heart. And later on today, we're going to discover more steps on how we can develop a heart that is sound and pure. And still to come later on in the program, inshallah, We talk more in preparation for the month of Ramadan, and we prepare ourselves in looking at what are some of the things that we can do on a daily or regular basis to prepare ourselves for Ramadan in these last few weeks. And specifically, we're going to look at niyyah or intention. More coming up after this break. Stay with us. A very warm welcome to the program. Ahlan wa sahlan. And we're into the second half of the hour. Today, we're discussing more about the sound heart and inshallah, understanding how this deals with us in terms of preparing ourselves and preparing our hearts for the month of Ramadan. Now, when it comes to beauty, we always say that beauty starts from the inside. And we live in a world where there is so much of emphasis on the external, and that attention to the internal is often neglected. So how much time do we spend trying to enhance the way our hearts look, and the way our hearts behave or function at a spiritual level? Is it hours a day, or more like minutes? Or are we even oblivious to this? Now, for many of us, we take care of the external and the physical appearance, but forget about looking deep within to purify and to improve. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated, Allah does not look at your figures nor at your attire, but He looks at your heart and deeds. So if it is the state of our hearts, our inner image that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at, isn't it worthwhile for us to care about beautifying that image as much as we care about beautifying our outward appearance? And what if we do not beautify or cleanse our inner image? What happens then? We then end up with ugly hearts or unhealthy hearts. And this then translates into ugly or unhealthy actions on an individual, on a family, and on the level of societies and communities. The famous hadith we've all heard of, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there lies within the body a piece of flesh. If it is sound, the whole body is sound. And if it is corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. Verily, this piece is the heart. Where do we begin to understand the state of our hearts? Now, this question is of great importance, and though we could never fully answer it in the scope of one article, one journal, one bayan, we want to at least remind ourselves not only of the importance of the heart, but of how we can begin to clean and purify the heart. Now, the word salim, because we're talking about qalbun salim, the sound heart, the word salim is an Arabic word that has a number of meanings. It means at peace or peaceful. It means whole. It means consistently healthy. It also means flawless or free of defects or diseases. Why is it so important that we strive to have a heart that is salim? Islam teaches us that the heart serves like a compass for the believer. That the heart helps a person follow the light and guidance that Allah has sent to His creation. That the heart helps a person decipher truth from falsehood, or good from evil, or beauty from ugliness. When the heart is upright and pure, a person will be able to drown out the noise of this dunya and tune into their fitrah, the innate nature, that part of them which is naturally inclined towards goodness. And when the heart is whole and healthy, it is much more easy to follow the guidance that is laid out in the Quran and Sunnah. When the heart is corrupt, whether it is from sin or action or knowledge that is contrary to the fitrah, we may find it difficult to distinguish between that good and bad, between that beauty and ugliness. And what happens is a corrupt heart will even justify evil. So we have to be very, very careful. So the question many of us ask is, how? How do we start to rectify our hearts, to make sure that our hearts are in a state where they are sound? Now, the heart, just like the body, needs nourishment. It needs spiritual food. And while we fuel our bodies with food, the fuel of the heart is knowledge. One of the first pieces of advice given by scholars is to pay attention to what type of knowledge we feed our hearts. The right type of knowledge includes that which helps us understand our deen, which helps us grow closer to Allah. But there are also other types of knowledge that are very important as well. And we know that historically, Muslims have made great achievements in sciences, art, and languages. But there needs to be a balance so that the believer's heart consistently receives nourishment to help it stay on the straight path. Another thing to remember is to be very conscious of our actions. Righteous actions will help to cleanse our heart. And a cleansed heart will be able to better appreciate goodness and will stay away from evil and falsehood. And so when the heart is cleansed, it is naturally attracted to goodness. And it will help us to be more steadfast and do more good deeds. Conversely, the sinful actions are what put dark spots on our hearts. In Ibn Majah, it is stated, when a slave commits a sin, a black spot appears on his heart. If he gives it up, seeks forgiveness and repents, his heart will be cleansed. But if he repeats it, the blackness will increase until it overwhelms his heart. What does this darkness do to the heart? It prevents it from receiving the light of truth and guidance. Without truth, the heart becomes corrupted, and the owner of will continue down a path of evil, sometimes even being unaware of how corrupted the heart is. So it begins with us purifying ourselves, purifying the heart, being aware and training ourselves so that the nafs doesn't just get what it wants. And this is very, very important for us to realize. When we work to purify our heart, struggle, but it's one that continues as long as our hearts are beating. As we work to achieve a sound heart, we will, inshallah, feel increasingly attached to Allah and closer to Allah. And this increases our internal feelings of peace, assurance, and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, that we will not be tested or that we will have this perfect life. No. Allah will promise to see us, but inshallah, we will be better equipped to handle these tests, and we will face them with patience and rida. And rida is basically contentment on a higher level for what Allah has decreed. And so as we hope to draw closer to Allah, we experience more of a desire to worship Allah, and we actually find joy and pleasure in worshiping Allah. So what happens is that those acts of worship which we once found difficult will actually feel easier for us, whether it is nafil fasting or praying at night. And as we purify our hearts, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate our affairs for us. Allah will make clear for us our path to Him. And in a sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the blindness from us, correction, whether it is in the form of people or experiences or feelings that will encourage us on our path to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the journey of qalbun salim, of a peaceful heart, of a sound heart, is one that we work through regularly, daily. We don't reach a place and say, well, I now have a sound heart and I'm done. This process is over. No, but it's a daily, regular journey that we go into ourselves and we check to see if something different, and what we go through puts us in a different mindset. Right? It changes how we perceive things, how we recognize things, how we accept things. And so it's so valuable that we constantly look at purifying the heart, strengthening the heart, at drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what we want to do is to ask ourselves this question: what is it that I'm doing today and now to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is it that I can do today and now to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What can I do to prepare for the month of Ramadan? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy upon us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. As we draw closer, as we draw closer to the end of another week, we want to ask ourselves, what is it that I can do this week to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prepare more and to prepare better for the month of Ramadan? Think of one thing that you can do and realize that with that one change you make, you can have a total game changer to how this Ramadan plays out for you and your family. We often think the changes we need to make need to be many. Sometimes it's one singular change that can impact on the entire Ramadan. We go for a last ad break, and when we return, more on the other side. Stay with us. A warm welcome to the last segment of this hour, where today we've been talking about the importance of a sound heart and what are the rights of our hearts. Continuing with our topic for today, and still in line with the month of Ramadan, we're looking at some simple steps that you and I can take on a daily, regular basis so that we set positive intentions, so that we have these good, positive intentions and niyyah, inshallah. The first thing that we want to start with is the intention. And an intention is the starting point of everything, whether it's something you want to study or some type of work you want to do or change in your life. Everything begins with an intention. If you want to take a walk or read a book or pray salah, everything begins with an intention. So never discount the role and the importance of an intention in our lives. And the intention is the most important thing that we can do for ourselves, inshallah. So let's begin on that point. We've all heard that what begins well ends well too. But how often do we practice this? Before we pray salah, do we have our intention? If we're preparing for our families, do we have this intention of the meals we're preparing? What's the intention behind this? If we're preparing our studies or exam, what's our intention behind this? And we know that in Islam, actions are judged by intention. So what is the intention? Now, the reason we often only succeed halfway through or can't complete projects is because either we've not made an intention or that our intention is not crystal clear. So it's really important that we constantly go back to the intention, affirming and reminding ourselves that whatever we're setting out to do is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An intention is like a seed. The moment we plant it in fertile ground, it begins to grow in a beautiful sapling and then a fully grown fruit and a flower-bearing plant. So the same way with our intentions, that we need to make sure we're clear with the intention that we set for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here are seven things that we can do. The first, clarify through reflection. When we set an intention to do something, the why of it is very important. If the reason to begin something is weak, then the intention is weaker, and the project at hand becomes the weakest, and it doesn't really see the light of day. So ask yourself why you want to start something, and this can help setting strong and positive good intentions. Much like when we plant a seed, we see to it that the seed is a good quality, the soil is healthy, right? So what's your reason for preparing for Ramadan spiritually? Does it make you excited? Are you compelled, positively compelled, emotionally compelled? Are you motivated? The second thing you want to do with your intention is put it down on paper. Set it up like a contract between you and the intention. And when we write things down, when our thoughts come out on paper, they're actually leaving our minds and like developing a life of their own. So the act of writing down your intention makes you enter almost into a contract, right, with your subconscious mind, and it clears the negativity that may come up from a lot of mind clutter. The next is to set only positive intentions. An intention, something like, I want to stress less this Ramadan, or I want to read more Quran, right? These are all positive intentions. The next is to keep your intention visible. So if you've made your intention, you want to ensure that there's some way that you can remember your intention. Keep that copy you've written down somewhere close by, or put it up on a post-it, or have it come on as a reminder on your phone, or as a screensaver, wallpaper. Do something so that you facilitate a process where you are reminded and motivated about it on a daily basis. The next way to work through positive intention or niyya is to be self-accountable. You set an intention, great, but that is only half the battle won. Now comes the work to make it a reality. And that work that you're doing on a daily basis needs accountability so that you don't become complacent or you don't lack in motivation. So dedicate just 5 minutes a day to mentally look back and think about how much closer you are to making that niyya a reality. The next thing you want to do is to remember to enjoy the process. Sometimes we actually stress ourselves out by setting up goals. But when we set up goals that have good intentions, remember to enjoy that journey. It is part of the journey of life. So to enjoy that process, inshallah. And the last is, you've made the intention. Last but certainly not the least, as you've set out that intention, what is it that you can do now? And that is to have trust and faith and reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you've set out your niyyah, your intention, and you've made an effort to start working on making that niyyah become a reality, you need to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the outcome is not in your hands, or it will be different to what you expect. And when we let go of our inner expectations, we become more calmer, and we're actually pleasantly surprised with what the outcome is. So we continue nurturing that intention, bringing it to life, making it a reality. However, at the same time, we do not get so caught up in that intention that we've set, that when it doesn't work out to our desired outcome, that we are devastated. But rather, we hand over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have that full faith and full trust in Allah that everything will work out for the better for us, inshallah. As we prepare to come to the close of today's edition of the program, we're going to look at just a bit of inspiration to keep us reflecting, to keep us pondering. And what I want to share with you today on the program, and this is something so important for us to reflect, and the question or the statement is, I wonder how much of what weighs me down is not mine to carry. I wonder how much of what weighs me down is not mine to carry. How often we feel weighted down by burdens, problems, hardships, and difficulties. But how often, if we think about it, that we are carrying the weight of others upon our shoulders. Is this fair? There's a space to to empathize, to feel compassion. Yes, but can we actually carry and hold the weight of others? If we're going to do that, we'll constantly be in the state of holding down on the weight of others. Is this something that we want to be doing? And so here's what we want to reflect on. What weight am I carrying on my shoulders? Is it mine or is it someone else's? And am I able to carry the burden or weight of others? No. But what I can do to help them more is to just be there for them, to empathize, to try to put myself in their shoes and try to understand what they're going through. And in that way, I'm able to give back more to them. That brings us to the close of this week's live edition of Revival in Motion. Join us next week in our concluding chapter on a sound heart as we prepare mind and heart for Ramadan. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.